Welcome to Wake Up Podcast with Viv Trader. Viv is a curious person with the desire to embrace different opinions and expertise. Her focus is health, well-being, environmental, and political. She holds a non-judgmental approach and she is objective. Viv's ambition is to raise your awareness and contribute to a better world. She is also the founder of Vivalicious Food, which produces an innovative vegan baby food with added omega-3 from an algae oil. www.vivaliciousfood.com.
All right. So today I have the real pleasure and honor of meeting you, Shaman Desanyi. You are absolutely beautiful. I love your hair. I love your beautiful lips and your energy is just so gorgeous.
Thank you so much. Your energy is very beautiful and magical too. You can tell you have a strong connection and angelic support team. So I love it. Strong connection to Archangel Raphael, most definitely, and Gabriel, which I would say working with Gabriel would be a good thing as you're on this podcast, as you're expressing yourself, and as you're in your divine creativity. He wanted me to make sure I said that.
Oh, and as you say that, I have chills all over my body.
Yeah, confirmations. For me, when I tap in, because the way I naturally read and the way I talk to people, their spiritual teams usually talk to me as my body jolted to give confirmations. And it's just weird as I've been aligning more with my shamanic purpose and aligning more with my purpose in general, how I've been led to help people connect more with their spiritual team and their energies. Especially right now, we talked about it briefly about how people are reawakening and activating into their connections. For me, I have a big purpose of helping people tap back into their magic and the magic within the universe. So I focus a lot on helping people connect to their spiritual teams. I don't say spirit guides because spirit guides are a part of your spiritual team because you have angelic guides, you have ancestral guides, you have galactic guides like the Galactic Federation, and then you have gods, goddesses, and deities too, which are very sacred. And a lot of people are connecting back to the different gods, goddesses, and deities and realizing that they're not miss and finding themselves culturally and connecting to past life connectivity is just a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we go any further, can you please tell me, who are you?
Hi, everyone. I'm Shaman Desjardins. And who am I? That's a deep question. I've been aligning more and more with who I am as I've been aligning with my shamanic purpose. And I awoken to being a born shaman. I have two main parts to my purpose. And they are raising the earth's vibrations, uplifting humanity, healing the planet, healing people, and then helping people tap back into their magic and the magic within the universe, which is reawakening and activating really that connection. I focus a lot on energetic connection because a lot of the times when people are coming into themselves spiritually, they have a fear surrounding it because people always talk about the negative things. But a lot of people also have strong connections. And I usually use the Archangel as an example because people feel strongly connected to Archangel Michael. And then they may not feel his energy because they don't focus on that. So I like to help people focus on the energy, help people connect and see his presence and feel it. And a lot of the times, like more than half of the time, people are like, I felt this energy and presence before. And I'm like, yes, it's because he's been around you, but you never focus in and zoned into it. It's a beautiful, sacred thing. I personally am a representative of the Divine Council, which is the Council of Gods, Goddesses, and Deities. So I help a lot of people connect to the different gods, goddesses, and deities, and that connectivity. It's a main part of my purpose because, one, they're just not myths. And I think that it's kind of insulting. And they tell me all the time it's insulting to have faith in one belief and then not have faith in another and then colonize people to have that disconnectivity. And a lot of cultures, they talk about how you feed into an energy, work with the energy, you talk to them, that gives them power. And they're still powerful, but that disconnect happens. So you try to take people away from their power. So as people are connecting to them, they're becoming more powerful again. The presence are becoming more known and people are tapping into the power, their gifts and their abilities. And one of the things I would say that people should realize is whoever you're connected to are a representation of you. They are a part of your spiritual team for a purpose. And I say this because let's say if you're connected to Loki, the Norse god, you probably have chaotic energy. Hecate is a really big goddess for a lot of witches. You may have Rhiannon, Celtic goddess. You may have someone like Zeus. You may have someone like so many beautiful goddesses, and like maybe Frigg, you have a really big divine purpose, like a divine mother type of energy. You may have to represent duality, like dark and light. Maybe work with Persephone or Freya, because they both represent those powerful forces of divine feminine, but also having a little bit of a darker side that represents both aspects. And it's extremely important to know that whoever's on your spiritual team is a part of your spiritual team, because they represent parts of you and gifts and abilities you have that you need to be tapping into. They're guiding you to get into that gift, to get into those powers, into those gifts and abilities, and to come into self. It's a beautiful thing. I also would say that besides being a representative of the Divine Council, I am an Atlantean starseed. So I do a lot of starseed channeled messages. That's my primary starseed past life. I'm an earth angel. I'm a mystic, a light worker. And, you know, I'm someone who believes in embracing the light, shadow, and dark. Being honest, I've had a lot of darkness, and I've been coming into myself more shamanically and understanding why. So I most definitely feel like everyone has to embrace all aspects of themselves so they can fully understand themselves and make a difference in the world. Even the world has light and dark, and then the shadow will be the stuff that's in between, the different variations.
Beautiful. Love it. Now, what is a starseed?
So starseed is, I would say, cosmic energy. You hear a lot of people talk about the Galactic Federation. It's what people would deem as extraterrestrials. And starseeds usually come into our planet in three different ways. So there's people like me who reincarnate here and they awaken to that purpose. So Atlanteans, like the Atlanteans you hear about the Anunnaki, you hear about the Palladians, you hear about the Lyrans, the Lemurians, the Menakans, trying to make sure, the Sirians, the Orions, the Draconians, and all these things that have been a part of Earth and humanity's history from the beginning of time. So they're extraterrestrial beings that have been a part of Earth and humanity's history from the beginning of time. So they typically come three ways. So there's people like me who reincarnated here, and like a lot of other people who awaken to that cosmic energy, that starseed past life. There's people that have been here from the beginning of the times, which is would be like the Anunnaki and the Palladians. You hear about this a lot in ancient texts. You go into ancient Sumerian, they talk about a lot about the Anunnaki, also in Africa. Palladians are also a part of like a lot of indigenous cultures, like Native American creation myths too. Tying back into history, you hear about the lost city of Atlantis, lost land of Muse, the Lemurians' energy. You hear about the lizard people, reptilian people that live in like the center of the earth. That's more the draconian energy. So they tie it back to earth and humanity's history from the beginning of the time. And the third way, which is what we're hearing about more frequently, is when you see the extraterrestrials come in from out of space. But that's more of a sign of we're here and we're being more present, even though they've always been here, to give warnings to our governments and ruling bodies. What I would say about that is, if you want to do research, because people, I feel like researching is always the best. You don't take my word for it or anybody else's, but there's literally documentations I know from at least the CIA in America talking about how they use channelers like me to get information from, like basically warning them and all this stuff that's out there. People do videos and talk about it all the time. So there's like proof and documentation. And literally around the time we're doing this interview, that at least in the United States, they openly admit that extraterrestrials are real. This has been a topic of conversation in the last few months. So it's just that energy.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool.
Now, how did your journey begin as, you know, being a mystic and a psychic, and how was your childhood?
That's a really deep question. So my whole life, I've known I was psychic. I've literally, from the beginning of like my deepest, youngest memories, I've known I was magical. And in that magical energy for me, it was like back in my mind knowing. I just happened to be raised in Christianity, and I didn't even know about spiritual gifts until I decided to read the Bible probably back in like 2017 when I was trying to work on my relationship. Yeah, 2017, because around the time I was ending undergrad. In 2018, I decided to buy a tarot deck and I developed my gifts. That's literally how it started. So I just kind of taught myself tarot. I knew I was intuitive, so I just tapped into the energies, and I've been growing ever since. So from there, I've been channeling. being a seer, astral traveling, shamanic journeying now, and talking to a lot of different divine beings. The start, besides the tarot deck, when it comes to connecting to divine energies and beings, for me, my ancestral awakening was the first thing. I started working with my ancestors, getting an ancestral altar, and they have been a guiding force and light for me ever since. But not only now, like I have a general spiritual altar too, which is where I usually communicate with like the archangels, my galactic family, spirit guides, spiritual team in general, like gods, goddesses, and deities. My childhood as a whole was very dark. I went through a lot of trauma and abuse and pain. So trigger warning for those that may be watching this. So besides being magical, my like earliest memories of being sexually abused by my uncle, I was sexually abused from like 4 to 5 to 7. That would be the start of like really bad and deeply ingrained PTSD and like kind of the darkest thing and forces that kind of shaped me and molded me. My whole family's kind of toxic. I went through a lot of mental, emotional, verbal, occasional physical abuse, but my sexual abuse was the worst, and then followed by mental and emotional abuse. But with that being said, the number one thing that I would say my mother did right would be the fact that she never downplayed my gifts or abilities, and she always was very open. So we had open conversations about being psychic, and my gifts happened to be genetic. So number one thing, I will always be grateful for that, because a lot of people will have people tell them that magic doesn't exist. My mother never did that for me. And look at me now. I mean, aligned with my spiritual purpose. It's beautiful.
Did you get the magic from your mom?
Oh, yeah. My gifts are ancestrally based. So my gifts and abilities, my mother, my grandmother, and my great-grandmother, and other people in my family have gifts, but no one opens or practices their gifts. I'm the first person to basically allow myself to reawaken them. So I remember from a very young age, certain things that I experienced at my great-grandmother's house. And even now when I have a lot of dreams, I have dreams at her house. So a lot of magical things happened. So my family's from Arkansas, which I would say Arkansas, of the United States. I never been there, but it's in the South. And yeah, we had some experiences. Like I remember my great grandmother having gifts and weird things happening from a very young age. And my grandmother is very psychic too. So is my grandfather actually. But they are more into spiritual gifts and Christianity. And the way they wouldn't say they were psychic, they would say it worded differently. But the gifts that I have are similar to them. And my mother's gifts are, yeah, like she's fully aware, but no one decided to develop their gifts or be within their spiritual purpose or doing that work. I'm the only one. So it's been a very interesting journey. Like my journey by itself has been very solitary. It's been very much where I've been personally growing and developing, figuring things out on my own, having ups and downs, obstacles and challenges. And it started with my ancestors. And I have not found a soul tribe or community, but I know I'm coming into one eventually. I think it's the fact that I had to come to myself first, because when you are on a spiritual journey, a lot of people will try to shape you and mold you or tell you what you shouldn't do or who you're not. And you have to have a strong foundation into who you are so that people cannot sway you. And that's where I am at currently. But yeah, I had to like, going back into it, I basically had to realize that the reason why my life was dark is because I was a born shaman. And I've been working through the fact that basically I felt like I was screwed from the beginning of existence. And my helping spirits, which are my Mayan indigenous ancestors. So I have a Mayan past life. And those are my helping spirits. I integrated that past life. And that's what I'm more so awakening to and realizing more that I'm healing the darker aspects of myself as I'm going through my dark night of the soul. But I'm 29 now, and my life has been pretty much darkness, but it's shifted. I did a lot of clearing and cleansing, and now I'm aligning more. But it's a lot of healing. That's really deep traumatic work and trauma. Mm. And basically knowing that darkness doesn't always have to stay, and I have to let my light shine, and that I had to clear out some really heavy energies. And it was deep.
Well done. What I mean, that healing journey must have been very, very difficult, lonely. You had, you know, solitude, being very lonely. The healing journey is very lonely.
Yes. So for me on my healing journey, one, it's ongoing. I want to emphasize that healing journey, spiritual journey, life journeys is ongoing. You're going to be healing from things and different aspects. You may be triggered, but you have to realize what you need to heal from. And then certain things will be opened up to you when they're meant to be opened up to you. And we're always progressing and growing as long as you're trying. And that's something I would always say. Like, I would say I actively started to try, like, put effort towards healing in 2018. And I also went through a lot of darkness when I started to heal, like it started being worse. And I didn't understand what was going on. And then through awakening to being a born shaman, my spiritual team had me reflect on pretty much whenever I made progress on healing and like removing a block, an obstacle, darkness happened. So it was like negative energy and forces. It's really deep.
And how did you handle that pain?
So I'm a strong believer in journaling and reflecting, shadow work. Honestly, you have to be honest with yourself. And that's where the blockages can come up, because sometimes you don't want to dive deep into realize what you need to let go of and release and work on. And for me, it's like certain habits and traits and behaviors that were like repeating cycles. And I'm like, how do I break this? How do I shift from that? How do I get into a better space and place so that it doesn't repeat? And it's been a lot of learning, growing, being kind to yourself. There's periods where you may go through like a depression, but you have to let yourself get out of it. You have to be able to work through your emotions and also work with your spiritual team. So for me, Aphrodite has been one of the like strongest supporter when it comes to my feelings towards love, because I've always had a toxic sense of love with my family. For like 7-8 months, I didn't speak to my mother for throughout 2023. So from like January to like August. And I had to tell her why I didn't speak to her. And I'm trying to heal the relationship. And I also had to basically come to a place of knowing that our relationship will never be the way I want it to be. Because my mother, I would say intergenerational trauma, karmic trauma and things. My mother had me at 18. My mother came from a very abusive situation. And in my mother's case, she feels like mental, emotional, and verbal abuse is not as bad as physical abuse, because she went through all of it. And I may have been occasionally physically abused, but she's, in her mind, nothing compared to what she went through. And I know what she went through. She told me, and her siblings told me. And it's like, okay, so I have my boundaries up. I won't have a relationship that I wish I would have, because she won't acknowledge certain things. And it's very painful, but sometimes you have to like just put that boundary up and work through certain things. I had to have deep conversations this year as I've been healing and letting go. Like I had to talk to my grandfather about my essay and what my uncle put me through. And he responded very ignorantly. He was very stupid. And I mean that in a very straightforward way, because it was hard for him to grasp what I went through. He tried to victim shame me and blame me. He tried to say, maybe you don't remember clearly. I'm like, no, I remember this my whole life. If you don't believe me, ask my aunt and my mother, because I've told them this before. And it was hard for him to grasp what his son put me through. And it was deep. It made me mad. I hung up on him before I cussed him out, because I'm still healing. And he like really made me mad. So I don't like the idea of being victim shamed or blamed. And all too often we talk about our experiences, people try to make us doubt ourselves and be negative. And for me, that was like a huge no. So I hung up on him. Through that though, like through healing and aligning on a deeper level, I started to unblock my memories. So my whole life I've dealt with PTSD. And the truthful thing about that is I know what PTSD is, and I knew what it was from a very young age, but I didn't connect the dots back until 2021, towards the end, when someone told me, and I was like, oh, right, I was dealing with PTSD. Like in my mind, I constantly dealt with my, I had memories throughout my life of the things that my uncle made me do. So I didn't really dream throughout my life, maybe a few times a month, less than a handful. But most of those dreams, at least half of them, would be of my sexual abuse. I remember being forced to perform oral acts as a child and being forced to kiss and do all these things and all these really bad things. Those have never left my mind. And that was PTSD. But one of the things that my PTSD showed me, and I kept having like a jolting pain and feeling, was like, not to be too descriptive, but you're a woman. I don't know if you have been penetrated. You don't have to answer this. But if you're somebody who has been penetrated, it doesn't matter if your gender, the first time penetration happens when your body grasps and you like have that feeling, my body remembered that, but I didn't put two and two together of why. So I literally blocked out being penetrated, and I didn't awaken to this until May 2022. And I remember because it's my birthday month. It was right around the time I turned 28. And I was like, how do you block something out like that? And blocking that out in my mind, I was like, I took the time, I meditated, I'm a seer, and I have the ability to re-experience my memories and help other people do the same. I literally meditated with Aphrodite, and I had to connect to my womb to understand why I blocked it out. That's the type of stuff that healing work like had me in like my emotions a lot, because I'm like, I was always forced to be around my uncle my whole life, even after it happened. And what I was very, very clearly told, because I connected to my higher self in Aphrodite, was I had to block it out until I was ready, because one, I had to be around him. So if I would remember that, that would have been very bad for me. Mm-hmm. Two, because I had to be in the space where my mother had me at 18 and my grandparents, it happened at my grandparents' house. Basically had me every weekend, every summer, and all this time where I basically was forced to be around them. And being honest with you, if I wouldn't have been around them, I don't know what would have happened, because my mother had me at such a young age, and that was more, sadly enough, was more safe for me to be around them, with them being more aware so he wasn't doing as much, than to be with her, because then I would have been probably left alone and been more in danger. So I had to block it out. And then from my conversation with my grandfather, a clarity came to me, because he was like, you called and begged me to come back down there. We weren't trying to have you down there right away. I was like, no, I didn't want to go. But when we talked, when I reflected on it, I was like, oh, I remember now. Because I never forgot that part, because it was in my mind. But my mother had me. She told me very clearly that I wouldn't have to go back. And within a week to 2 weeks, and I want to say a week, but within 2 weeks, less than a month, y'all, she had like, oh, don't you want to go back? And I was like, no. And then she had mentally and emotionally manipulated me to call my grandparents to have them come back. So I was forced to be around her because she didn't want to take the effort to watch me. So that clarity came to my mind too. And I'm like, if I told her I brought this up, she would deny it. And I'm like, you mentally and emotionally manipulated me to make me be around my sexual abuser because you didn't want to watch me because you had me at such a young age. So I was around 7 at the time. So my mother was around 25. And I also had a brother. He's 2.5 years, a year and a half younger than me. So she had 2 kids and my sister wasn't born yet. So healing is one of those things that things are revealed to you as they're meant to be revealed. And sometimes it makes you mad. Like, how do you block out something like that? Then you have to connect to your spiritual team and to yourself and think about maybe me blocking it out was the best thing, because if I would have remembered. And it triggered me because my brother passed away in 2015, in February 2015. And in December 2015, right before 2016 happened, my uncle and my grandfather decided to have a conversation with me awkwardly where we talked about my sexual abuse for the first time. So we never talked about it. It was like one of those things that everyone was aware of, but we never discussed. And in that conversation, my uncle's words triggered me. And when I say that they triggered me, it was because he said, whatever I did and forever, how long? When he worded it that way, my mind was like, what do you mean, whatever you did forever, how long? Because I remember how many times you forced me. And I mean, the most thing that was ingrained in my mind and had PTSD and had the memories and the dreams about all the time randomly was being forced to perform oral sex. I used to remember how it tasted. So there's no way you forgot it. And he's 8 years older than me. From 12 to 15, you know what you're doing. I remember being 12. I wouldn't have done that. And he worded it in a way that you weren't trying to take accountability. You're not trying to like heal. So if I felt like he was trying to heal and address what he was going through, it would be easier for me to be like, okay, you're doing it, but you don't even acknowledge it. Like you can't be in your mind, talk about the things you made me do. And then you most definitely didn't forget the fact that you penetrated me, because I may have forgot it, but you don't forget. I'm assuming I would be his first. 12 to 15, that would be my guess. I don't know. But you don't forget that. It's impossible for you to forget that. So as I've been healing and aligning with my shamanic journey, shamanically, my spiritual team has been forcing me to heal and go into this darkness, especially surrounding my SA situation. And they started having me like play things in my mind and my dreams and my memories to pinpoint things that were not okay, that he kept doing. And honestly, I don't think I'm the only one. And I've said this before, and I told my family, something's going to come out with about him being me not being the only one. And something about the psychological issues too, because he tried to mentally and emotionally manipulate me to the extent that he tried to make it seem like it was okay, even though I kept fighting back for years. And he got caught like so many times, including by my grandmother, who was aware and did nothing because my grandfather was abusive. It stopped with him. But when I say it stopped, like the noticeable thing. So they had me reflect on this. Like he used to occasionally grab my thighs, talk about my body, do certain things that were not okay. She didn't ever touch me. And there was even a time afterwards where I was in the shower when I was younger and he came in and used the bathroom. So that psychological, mental, emotional turmoil, like torture. And mm-hmm. He has a habit, especially in the last few years when he's been bringing people around the family, where his psychological issues when abuse and controlling and all the things that he did to me are showing up in his relationships. So all of that's going to intertwine and blow up. Like I've had the vision. I know I'm serious. And no one wants to acknowledge this when I tell them that. I'm like, you know, you keep having your kids. They treat them like a normal person. Like you keep having your kids around a sexual abuser. You keep trying to hook them up with people from your church. And he's psycho. All these things are not okay. So that's one of those things that you start to realize behaviors you don't want to put up with, or you don't want to enough are people that you realize people may have like not acknowledged, and you're like, this is not okay. It's deep.
Yeah, they totally invalidated you. You have no one. You just had yourself.
No. Yeah, and as I got older, even before I decided to go no contact with a lot of people in my family, I decided that I couldn't be around them anymore this last year, because I'm like, I can't be one. I didn't want to be around my sexual abuser once I remembered I was penetrated. That was like a huge no for me. Two, I'm like, I can't be around y'all acting like he's normal, having him around your kids, and that's just not okay to me. Like, in my soul, that makes my stomach turn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that is probably the most deep thing that I always have to work on healing and addressing, and the layers still keep unraveling. So, yeah.
You're doing the work, and you're breaking generational trauma as well, which is huge. I mean, you're such a hero.
Thank you. It's not easy. So it caused me to cut off my emotions, but being a divine feminine, being an empath, I've been having to reopen up to that. And it's been very interesting. It's been, I would say, a key part of my healing journey. And also, like, the way my spiritual team works, I never wanted to be a mom or have kids because I come from a toxic family. When I started to heal and I really made progress, they basically kept giving me visions of my future kids. And I'm like, no, I don't know about that. It's very interesting. It's weird to know that I'm going to be a mom. And I've even felt my like divine counterpart's energy, but we haven't met. And every time it makes me irritated because I don't like being connected to somebody I haven't met. They always point out to me, like, if you don't meet them at the right time, then you will push him away because you're not healed. I'm like, but then stop making me feel connected to him. Yeah, like you can tell my stubbornness is a little bit of a Taurus, just a little bit.
Maybe you will heal others, help others that have been sexually abused. Maybe that's your mission. You had to experience that terrible pain and empathize so you can help others, you know?
Yeah, it's very true. You're very correct. For me, my spiritual team basically has let me know that I've been through so much abuse, hurt, and pain, darkness, to the extent that it's a part of my purpose to help other people work through their darkness. That's why the light shadow and dark, being a dark shaman that focuses on darker energies, is such a sacred thing for me. And even as somebody who's able to, I can energetically cleanse, and I work with people's spiritual teams to activate them and to release the energies and be able to pinpoint karma or things that need to be let go of. When I started awakening to being a born shaman, I started to see things differently. And pretty much when I read somebody or if I'm focusing on activating them, their spiritual team, and I will see like energy surrounding them. So I literally have like the ability to see the darkness. I'm like, oh, you know, you're attached to this. You need to cleanse this. Or, huh, this is ancestral karma that you need to activate or remove and all these different things. So I've been adjusting more to understanding the darkness and actually seeing the darker energies and releasing them and healing people and helping them activate and really take a new toll on life. It's been beautiful.
Very beautiful. Love it. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
It's very, very, very important to talk about this. It's very common, I think, incest and sexual abuse. Do you know how the numbers?
So when I last looked into it, it was like, I think 3 in 5 women or children, women or girls, and it was like either 2 in 5 men that's reported, or boys, but that could be very outdated. And the thing about that is what isn't reported. In my case, it wasn't reported. My mom decided at 7 years old, she wanted to ask me, should I report my sexual abuse instead of just doing it herself? And my answer was, I don't want him to get more in trouble because I already understood the dynamics surrounding why my abuse continued, because they didn't want to tell my grandfather, who was abusive, and how he would react. That's sad. I was 7. I was not, again, like you said, let down, because you should have just automatically put him in jail. You should have automatically not asked the 7-year-old that. You're 25. That's 4 years younger than I am. At 25, I would have 100% not even thought about it. I don't care who it was. Just being honest, I don't care if it would have made a weird dynamic. I don't care if he was around 15. You know what you're doing from 12 to 15. You're conscious of that, especially when I fight back and you get caught so many times and then you try to psychologically manipulate me and make it normalized. Like, that's just weird. Mm. It's deep. Mm. It reminds me, and this makes me very sad. It reminds me of how some people can get Stockholm syndrome when you try to like get comfortable with your captor. And I think to myself, you tried to make me have Stockholm syndrome. You tried to normalize my sexual abuse so that I wanted it, and you to normalize it, even though I fought you back and other people told you it was wrong when you got caught so many times. And I mean, his younger sister, my aunt's how it stopped. My grandmother told you to stop. Your friend caught you. Other people caught you. You just kept, like, it happened a lot throughout the years, at least more than my hand time, like more than my 5 fingers. And you kept trying to normalize it. And then it took your father that has the scary presence, that abusive person, to actually make it stop. Think about that. Like, that's not normal. Like, that's weird. That's Stockholm syndrome. Like, if I was in a situation where you could have manipulated me and I wasn't fighting back, I would have thought it was okay. And it was weird. Like, no. With that being said, I would say that being a healer for me is one of those things that I have been adjusting to in the ways I'm meant to heal. And working with Archangel Raphael, and Raphael is so amazing. Archangel Raphael. Most healers go through pain, suffering, and things that are very hurtful. Their heartache in their field. But that is what makes a healer beautiful. That is what makes a healer connect. Because the pain and the suffering that they have endured allows them to be in a space and in a place to give love and compassion to other people. Healers must heal themselves first. They must understand the hurt, the pain, the suffering, for they can grow and reach people from that genuine connectivity, from a genuine standpoint. And even if they may not have went through something specifically, they understand what hurt and pain is, and they want to be that person that makes a difference and care about other people. It's a part of the world. Sadly, hurt, pain, and suffering are part of the world in existence. So there has to be healers in the world to help that hurt, pain, and suffering, to give love and compassion, and be able to be that ear, that hand, that person that people can reach out to. Do you have a question for me?
Ooh, very, very nice. How can we find the mystic inside ourselves when we are going through a healing journey?
I would say, find what you are connected to. Who do you feel connected to? And it's important for you to feel grounded in self. So when you are healing, being grounded in self, being open to self, and being in a place where you want to expand yourself is important. So to be able to find the mystic within, you have to be confident in self, allow yourself to open up and believe in your magic. It's a part of discovery. But to tap into it and dive deeper is to understand yourself and to understand what you're connected to. So maybe it's angels. Maybe it's a certain god, goddess, or deity, a spirit guide, an ascended master, whatever that is for you. Build upon that connection. Allow yourself to work with them to discover your magic on a deeper level too. Because the different divine beings are real. And you connecting to them makes you feel less alone and helps you have the energy and a source that can help and guide you the way you need to be guided sometimes. But that still comes to a connection with the self, trusting in yourself and your magic. You are the foundation to discovering you and what you are connected to.
Gorgeous. Thank you.
So as I'm thinking, because you talked about finding your own magic, I would say, so the way I'm thinking about doing this is very simple. If you're able to meditate and you're able to breathe and connect, it's easier for you to be able to flow and find yourself. So I have the ability to help people like just connect to themselves, their spiritual teams, and basically open up the energy. If you're able to ground and you're able to breathe and you're able to flow, and if you're able to listen and be open to experience, and you can connect to your magic. And if you're okay with that, I can do this during this time.
Yeah, I love to.
Okay. If you don't have water, you may want to drink water, and do not do this while driving or moving because it will be unsafe. You want to be comfortable. And I just want you to breathe. And as you're breathing, breathe in any way that makes you feel comfortable and relaxed. Allow yourself to be at a place of relaxation, feeling grounded in self, focusing on you. Connect to yourself and breathe. Now, how do you see yourself? Think about how you see yourself. How do you envision yourself? And as you're envisioning yourself, I want you to just feel confident and empowered in you, as I am being the divine guide. Now, what I want you to do as you're feeling confident in yourself is ask yourself, who am I magically? And as you're asking yourself who you are magically, pay attention to how your gifts and your abilities may be trying to act and activate. So maybe you get a vision. Maybe you hear something. Maybe you just get a strong knowing. Those are all gifts. So pressure in your ear. That could be your clairaudience trying to speak. Feeling things in your third eye area. That's clairvoyance. Maybe you're feeling pressure in your crown. That's claircognizance. You could be feeling this energy of maybe in your throat saying you have an important speaking mission. Your throat chakra is important. Maybe you just are feeling really intense, feeling the energy, that clairsentience, empath energy. You may be smelling or tasting things, clairaliens, clairgustians. And now I want you to ask yourself this question. simply, what is your primary gift? Allow your magic to take root. What is your magic trying to show you? Again, pay attention to what you may be feeling in your body. So maybe you're feeling chills and sensations. That's clairsentience. Again, pressure in your third eye area, around your forehead, that's clairvoyance. On the top of your head, that's clairsentience. If you're feeling pressure in your ears, maybe popping or ringing, clairaudience. You may be smelling things randomly, clairalience. You may be tasting, clairgustience. Trust yourself as you're grounded. Now breathe, allow yourself to come to, and really see how your gifts responded and reacted. Maybe you're blocked. And if you're blocked, maybe you need to unblock yourself, because sometimes you are. But trusting yourself and whatever you're experiencing, again, you are the portal to everything. You are connected to everything through self. And it's really magical, so you are magic. And as you come to, don't forget to drink water. Water is important. Stay hydrated. Remember how magical and powerful you are, and just that you are connected to a lot through you. Beautiful, beautiful energy. What I want to say is, as you're on your spiritual journey, your healing journey, as you're aligning with who you are and your magic, you do not have to rush it or overdo it, which I think that a lot of people want to do, or they try to force things. It's better to allow yourself to come into it naturally. And if you're able to really pinpoint one connection is important, then you can build upon that one connection. Because some people want to connect to like five energies at once. That could be overdoing it. You want to focus maybe on Archangel Raphael, a specific ancestor. Like for me, when I first started connecting, I found my primary guiding ancestor. And then as I was ready, everything else opened up. It's a natural flow. Allow yourself to naturally flow. Don't rush things. Things will open up as you're ready. And that's the same thing within your gifts. Like for me, I was an intuitive. Other gifts opened up after that, like me channeling, my clairsentience heightening, my clairaudience. So it's a flow, it's a process. You don't want to rush it because you can have missteps. You can do things that you're not ready for, which can be very dangerous when it comes to magic. And even in my case, I had an experience where I tried a certain practice and it was very negative, and it was like, it wasn't the right time. Timing is important. So have faith in divine timing and allow yourself to flow, progress the way you're meant to.
And I think the more healing you do as well, the easier your channel or your gift sort of comes to you. As it's just as you said, you had to sort of be healed to apply the gifts in a proper manner. You know, it comes with a lot of responsibility as well.
Yes, yes, they do. Like, being magical, having a divine purpose, comes with a lot of responsibility. Healing yourself is very much heavy. You go through things. And healing other people, it's heavy. You go through things. And what I want to emphasize is spiritual journeys and really aligning is no joke. Because if you're somebody with a spiritual purpose, it's serious. You go through spiritual warfare. You go through spiritual attacks. It's not all love and light. There's some serious things in there. Just like there's divine beings out of light, there are divine beings of dark that do not want the earth vibration to be raised. So you experience these type of things, and it can be very taxing and tiresome. And depending on who you are and what you're connected to, you can open up a lot of different things. I remember that my ancestors told me that as I was really starting to align, that it was no joke and that basically there was no going back. And they wrote it on my wall, which completely freaked me out because I saw it so clearly. And I was like, okay, it says, this is like, it was something like, this is very serious. And I'm like, uh-huh. Like it wasn't there, like right on the side of my bed. And I was like, okay. Then I started to align more with channeling gods, goddesses, and deities, being a born shaman, all these things. And there are most definitely beings of dark that don't want you to speak. For me, when I do things, my voice will randomly go out like I've been talking to you throughout this video. That's spiritual warfare and attack. Usually it's when I'm talking about something very important. So when you're doing what you're meant to do and you're being a light, things don't want you to shine. And that's when you're really tested because you'll go through the darkness. And they're very smart because they're going to test you in ways that make you want to break, that really infect you and impact you. And you're going to be like, why do I have to deal with this? Because you may be dealing with things in your physical planes, dealing with things spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. It can be very much a weight, and you have to work through it all.
Yeah, test. The testing, the never-ending journeys.
Yeah. Do you have any other questions, Viv?
Yeah, what has been your biggest fear in your life so far?
Is that fear?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so funny. So I'm a channeler. That's how I was able to like channel Archangel Raphael. Throughout my whole life, I have seen spirits and energies, like I've always have, but it has went in and out. So what I was told from my spiritual team is I blocked myself from seeing it because it like it annoys me. So I've been at this place where they've been focusing and really forcing me to be more in my mediumship abilities, because even when I read, because I could see spirits still, I filter it. I've been in a place where the filter has been gone. So I've been in the space where I'm constantly seeing spirits more, and it annoys me. And that would be one of those fears, because you have to get used to shifting your reality to constantly seeing spirits. And in my case, even though that's been the most annoying thing, a very fearful thing, because you have to get used to it, because I'm seeing like shadow beings, and, like full apparitions and all these things more consistently. As annoying as that is, I also have the ability to feel them. And that's worse, because there's nothing like feeling spirits right on you and like feeling them. Like as a channel, they can try to like touch me and I can like just like a regular person. So that would be one of the biggest fears for me. And I guess the more I've been aligning, coming into my power and aligning with my purpose, it's not easy because not everyone understands. You have times when people may call you a fear monger. I had dealt with that back in, it's 2022, around the time of like March and April was really bad throughout the summer, because that's when the peak natural disasters and things were happening. And that's where people started paying attention to like all the dire things in the world's energy. And I was telling people about it before it actually happened. And a lot of people didn't want to acknowledge that it was happening. And I got called a fear monger and all these things. I'm like, okay. And then a lot of the things I said came true into light. And then a lot of people afterwards were talking about, well, we've been having these visions and I just didn't want to put it out there. I'm like, yeah, you talk about it now. But those of us that were talking about it, because I'm not the only one. Like it's a collective thing that we were getting visions, because people need to be aware. So that is a fear for me too, that I have to work on. It's like not caring, just putting things into the world that I see, because I'm a seer, and I'm a seer that feels, and I mean emphasize, feels her visions. So when I see things like natural disasters and then I'm like in a complete channeled state seeing things, I've been better at it, but I will literally just channel what I'm seeing and feeling. And it can be very dark, because it gets very dark sometimes. Other than that, I guess failure. Like, I don't want to be a failure. I've always worked very hard, but I happen to have, and this is one of those things I realized as I've been on my shamanic journey. I was born into a lot of karma and like very toxic energy and things that I had to cleanse. Mm-hmm. So even though I worked very hard, I never got to a place of success that I wanted to and that I planned to achieve. Mm-hmm. And it's because literally I wasn't able to. So it was one of those things that kind of shot me in my heart, to be honest with you. When my primary helping spirits, my voice completely went out. When my primary helping spirits told me this, I was like, so I worked hard and I busted my butt off this whole time. But I never had a chance to be in this energy of abundance because I had so much heavy karmic stuff that I had to cleanse. And one of the things is I know that I cleansed it and that I'm coming into my abundance and I've done the work, but I'm battling with this energy because I'm still in this darkness and it's not here yet of, is it actually coming? So that goes into trust. But literally, and I do emphasize, I couldn't have been very successful. And it hurts a lot because even though I have a master's degree and I got my bachelor's degree, because you have to get that first, and I like work hard and I'm very smart and driven, I never was able to achieve success. And it hurts me on a very deep soul level, because I've worked hard. I went to school. I'm like busted my butt off. I'm very like, I tried, like I did. I never understood why. No matter what, I worked in a lot of toxic environments. I couldn't get like a really good paying job. A lot of heavier energies always surrounded what I did. And I mean, I worked in some very bad work environments. Like there was one place I worked where people were breaking down and crying a lot, like every morning before the higher ups came. And I just did not understand the why behind it.
Wow.
To me, yeah. And it actually irritated me. When I say it was a shot in the heart, it was like, so I worked my butt off and I tried so many years. Like I'm 29 now. I came to this realization when I was 28, almost 29. I'm like, so no matter what I did, and I'm like, well, if I would have known that, I wouldn't have went to school. I wouldn't have went into school dead. I probably wouldn't have tried. And I'm like, I couldn't. And again, I wasn't born within a family that practiced their gifts. So I wasn't being able to be told, you know what, you're a born shaman, Desjane. None of that was my reality. I may have known I was magical. I believed in many different things. I loved mythology and stuff, but I wasn't born in the environment where I could thrive and understand why I would have to go through what I went through. So I guess never coming into my abundance, never having success, never reaching the things that I want to reach and doing what I want to do would be a big fear of mine. And basically being in the cycle I've been in most of my life. Even though I've been told several times that that cycle has ended, like never actually being able to see it in my physical planes. I know that you shouldn't want to solely focus on physical things, but for me, I feel like my physical life, I want a good well-being. I came from toxicity. And also, I am very much a humanitarian, so I want to be able to have wealth and abundance where I can make a difference in other people's lives because I've been through so much.
But you've done the most important job of us all. You healing generational trauma and creating future generations where it's love. That's the biggest job in the world. You are the most successful person on this entire planet.
Many of us, I love how positive you are about this, because many of us that do awaken and we are that black sheep or that person that has all that karma and that all the things that we have to heal, it's not easy. It's a lot of weight. It's like
very,
we're doing
very this. Difficult.
Yes. And it's funny because as I was getting ready for this interview, I was connecting with my ancestors as I was like doing makeup and whatnot. And they literally brought to my attention what I still needed to do. And I thought about it and I was like, this is so not fair of me to have to do this. So I cleared a lot of my karma, and my karma basically is pretty much cleared. Like I will not be blocking the obstacle, like the obstacles and stuff, but my ancestral karma from this incarnation, there's like this curse and this heavy energy surrounding my family that I broke the curse. Like when yes. I did a whole ritual, like I saw how it played out. So I know what's going for me, but my ancestors are like, you know, you did it for yourself, but we want you to do it for everyone else. And it's been so intense. And you brought this up. I literally had like thought about it as I was getting dressed. And I had a dream about it fairly recently, like in the last 1 to 2 weeks, about It's a reoccurring dream, by the way. It's not like just one. And they keep trying to tell me you should really care more and clear out the energy for other people. And I'm like, I'm going to do it. But I'm like, that's a lot more weight for me to do. Because again, my family's from Arkansas. And I want to go there and visit. And I feel like when I do, I'm going to have to clear out something by like doing something in nature where they're from. I found out where they're from. I looked up recently. I found it out recently and like really heal. And they keep showing me when I do it, the people of my generation and like afterwards, I have a lot of cousins around my age, like it's like six of us, are going to be able to start pinpointing and things are going to open up for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been like a whole family thing. Like it's not just me. Like when we should have more success and we have a lot of talents, but things haven't opened up because there's a curse on our family. I cleared it for myself, but my ancestors are like, you have to clear it for other people. Like, They kept showing me, and you brought it up again, and they told me literally right beforehand. I don't even know what it is. I have to like figure it out, and I'm like, I mean, I could be selfish, but I really want them to have success too, especially since a lot of them have kids now. Yeah, I want the kids.
You are love. You are love.
Yeah, I have to vibrate in the energy of love and the frequency of love, and like for me. I've never really had love. It's one of those things that I'm working on more and more. And it's a foundation of being a shaman. It really is. They tell me all the time. So as I've been healing my heart and opening up more, like if I was more selfish and I was the unhealed version of myself, I'd be like, I'm not going to go clear out this debt for them for they can do. But since they love to tell me and that you brought it up too, it's most definitely on my to-do list because I don't know. I want to really help other people. And the thing about when you are that person clearing out the debt, you don't usually get told or like get praises or anything because no one's aware that you're doing it. And even if they are, they're not going to acknowledge it. Deep.
But you're going to get it from source, you know?
Yeah. And my ancestors keep telling me, and you brought it up. So it's like, make sure you do it, Deshane. Yeah.
You're so strong. What an inspiration you are.
Thank you. Well done.
I'm proud of you.
I appreciate it.
Very nice meeting you here. Now, my final question to you. Where do you hope we are in 10 years in the world from now?
So it's so interesting because I've been thinking a lot about my future and the things that I'm meant to do. And I want to grow a lot more as a shaman and deepen my connection to nature more. And I plan to, I think, go back and study ecology. Because it's deep and have like that scientific knowledge and foundation in ecology and the environment. I want to be very successful and known for what I do, as in I really want to make a difference in people's life and help them connect to their spiritual team. I want to be living in my authenticity and really just being magical and unapologetic. I already own my own business. I started this year, but really growing it and really being at a strong foundation where I'm aligned. I want to be aligned, like an aligned light. Like I'm shining, I'm being bright, helping people through the dark. I'm helping people connect. I'm letting people know magic is real and helping them connect to their magic. And hopefully being a best-selling author, maybe having a TV show focused on magic and the environment of some sort. And I would like to have met my divine counterpart by then. Yeah. Yeah. I would like to have him. I think by then I should be healed, hopefully.
I believe in you 100%. So I wish you all the very, very best with all your dreams and may them all come true. You will make them come true. I know that.
Thank you. And my question for you is, what do you want to accomplish and where do you want to be in 10 years? Because you have this show and I'm on it.
Yeah, I have problems when there is so many children around the world that are dying of starvation every day. I don't want children to be hungry and don't have the right opportunities to thrive because they're innocent. And I want clean water for everyone. I want peace, no war. I want everyone to feel like they love themselves so much. So they just want to do good for others. That's my wish.
That's loving, very humanitarian answer.
I really enjoyed having you here today. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your journey with the people out there, and most of all, talking about this so difficult topic about, you know, sexual abuse. You did so well. Well done for being so honest and open.
Thank you so much for having me, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
I hope you got some valuable information today. Wake up, wake up. And thanks for checking in and waking up. See you next time.